Can you turn to Luke? Not that Luke. This Luke in the Bible, all right? Turn to Luke, please. The advent of Christ, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just keep your place in the Bible there. The arrival of Christ to this earth. That's what Advent means. That's what Advent means. John's Gospel says this. 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this is talking about the Lord Jesus here. And the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. On the 24th of August, 1953, there was an advent. And that advent, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, when I was born, there was an advent. A boy was born. Stephen Young was born. It was the arrival, and that's what Advent means, it's the arrival. So when you were born, it was an arrival, right? An anticipation of an arrival, an Advent. That's why we get this word Advent, you know. It's nowhere mentioned in the Bible, Advent. But this is the greatest arrival in history, amen? This is the greatest arrival. This is the greatest advent that ever took place. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll keep swapping my glasses. And okay, praise the Lord. More than just an advent. More than just an advent, friends. A wonderful advent. And this advent, I want to magnify the advent. I want to magnify the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as this child. Amen. His name shall be called Jesus. The Lord is our salvation. That's what Jesus means. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him a throne after his father David, because he was of the lineage of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end, praise God. These are the things that are stated in the scriptures and prophesied about our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to tie up with this, with Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. And I'm going to read something, or the song that Mary sang. But Philippians 2 ties in with this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess under earth, right? And under in heaven and under earth and even in hell. Amen. Praise God. Shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee is going to bow, friends. Amen. In heaven, in earth, and even in Hades, they will bow before him, and they will be judged. The direction I feel that the Lord wanted me to take this morning is the direction that concerns the favor of God. The favor of God. I want to talk about the favor of God this morning. God is a God of favor. And we're going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You know, we use that word, you know, do us a favor. How many have used that word? How many have asked people, do us a favor? It's a common thing, isn't it? You know, if we want something doing, do us a favor. Yeah. Well, that's nothing like the favor of God. It's more magnified. It's more great. Gabriel appears to Mary. "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. For you have found favor. You are highly favored," the angel Gabriel said. Now, can you imagine Mary, a young girl here, a young girl who has this experience of an angel appearing to her? And, you know, the verse there says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I don't think she was troubled or really sort of, you know, had a, you know, a sort of weird experience. She was troubled at the saying, right? "I am highly favored." You know, why is God favoring me? Why is God wanting to bring this to me? You know, and Gabriel appears to the Virgin Mary. And Mary, her response was, when he told her that she would bring forth a son, and in verse 31, "Bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest." And I've mentioned a few things there. Then Mary said to the angel a question: "How can these things be? How can these things be?" How many of us have said that in our spirit? How can these things be? You know, God can heal you. How can these things be? How can it be? You know, and the angel said to her, "What is about to happen?" He explains how these things can be. He explains to Mary that what's going to take place in her body, is something supernatural. Right? And he explains what is actually going to happen. In verse 35 it says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One that is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So the Holy Spirit will come upon you. It sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. I've heard that somewhere before. Have you? Acts 2? No, Acts 1. Acts 1. There we find in Acts 1 verse 8. It says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. So tarry until you are endued with power from on high." So the Holy Spirit was coming upon Mary, and the power of the Highest was going to overshadow her. You see, in Acts 2, there's the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Up to that moment, the Holy Spirit come upon people. Right? Come upon them. And Elizabeth even was filled with the Holy Spirit at that particular time. When these two people met, Elizabeth and Mary, when they met, why, they had a wonderful time, didn't they? You ladies, you know, when you meet, is it about the fashion of this world? Is it the talk? Is it about, you know, sort of like, you know, Christmas is coming and, you know, the geese are getting fat and we're all, you know, ready and waiting, you know, for this wonderful, momentous day. And so excited about it, aren't we? It will be just a normal day, you know. But it's Christmas. And I'm not a humbug, you know, I like Christmas. Praise the Lord, yes. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, right? So you know, when your ladies meet, and the guys, you know, the Holy Spirit comes into your midst, into the circle of your conversation. You know, we need more of that. When you go into Costa and you're ordering your coffee, the Holy Spirit can come upon you. Amen? The Holy Spirit can come upon us. And we can speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so we are familiar, those who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, are familiar with this saying. We are familiar that the power of the Most High God will overshadow us because He's living in us. He's living in us continually. Praise the Lord. The Spirit-filled believers. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, precious brother and sister, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Receive the Holy Spirit. Even where you are sitting this morning, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, just fill people who have a heart for you. Open up your heart. And I love this verse. So the Holy Spirit, what He's doing here is explaining to this young girl, right? He's trying to explain to her what's going to happen to her. Well, you want some explanation, I'm sure. If you'd been told that this God was going to, bring forth a child in your womb, right? The Holy Spirit was going to come upon you and you are going to conceive a baby. Well, friends, you'd want to know something about it, I'm sure. If I was a woman, I probably would. And so he not only tells Mary about this, but he enlightens Mary. And he says, your relative, was it auntie? Cousin, sorry. Your relative, your cousin, right? Your cousin, it's good to have these, you know, sort of theologians on the front row, isn't it? These relatives, right, or this cousin, okay, called Elizabeth, your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby in her old age. And she knew how old she was. She was getting on. She was advanced. Like some people here. You're advanced in years. They don't like that. Advanced in years. Dig my hole. That's what I'm doing. But advanced in years. I think. Does it actually say, consult the theologians. Does it actually say how old she was?
No.
No. So I would say advanced in years is about 60, yeah. No, about 80, 90-year-old. That's what I would say. I don't know the biology of a woman and all that. But when you're getting old, you know, you don't have babies, do you? Well, some probably do, but this is not a regular occasion. But, you know, it's what's in the next verse, 37. It says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Amen. Amen. Now he says this to Mary. He tells her, he gives her a glimpse of what's been happening in the last 6 months with her cousin Elizabeth, and she was able to, I believe, be encouraged with that. That if an old lady can have a baby, you know, why should I worry? Okay, and a bit more seriously, that this was something of God, because she knew Elizabeth was a godly woman. You see, she was godly. She followed the Lord. Her and Zechariah, and so did Mary as well. Mary was a God seeker. And so nothing is going to be impossible. And the angel said it, friends. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and dwells in you, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. Right? Let's get that in our heads this morning. There's nothing impossible with God. What need do you have? What need do I have? What do we have? What are we praying for? Nothing is impossible with God. That is what the scripture says. You see, Mary believed the angel. Mary's first response was, "How can these things be?" But her second response was, "Let it be according to your word." That was faith. That she believed what the angel had told her. She believed. Mary must have been schooled as a young Jewish girl, schooled, you know, in knowledge of the Old Testament. And so she must have known something of the prophecies. She must have read or heard Isaiah. She probably have heard, you know, people talking about, you know, the Messiah coming. So she was, she was genned up. You know, she was not ignorant of this fact. She knew what the angel was talking about, and she said, "How can these things be?" And she said, "Let it be. I believe." And Elizabeth, when she mentioned that, when she got together with Mary, Mary went to visit her, this is what Elizabeth said: "Blessed is she who believed." And that means, blessed is she who believed what was said to her. What was said to her. What the word of God said to her. Blessed is she who believed. And there will be a fulfillment of the things which were told from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. If you are looking for a fulfillment, God has promised you something in the past, maybe, keep hold of that. Keep hold of it, friends, because it will come to pass. Believe for your families. Believe those that are away from God will come and know Christ. Believe it. God promises these things. You and your household. Amen. And so, let's move on. I just want to compare John's birth and Christ's birth. John's birth was, I believe, because of the age of Elizabeth, a miraculous birth. I believe God was in it. And it was a miracle, I believe. But it lacked the divine nature. of God. Jesus' birth was God's incarnation. Right? That word, God incarnate. That God was in Christ. And when Christ was born, God was becoming flesh. As we read in said in John 1:14. John was with sin. John was a sinner. Jesus was no sinner. He was without sin. Praise the Lord. Without sin. Comparing the two. A human birth as opposed to a divine conception. Amen. It was a divine conception. Not only divine in power, but divine in essence. In its essence, friends. It was divine. And it also added the human essence as well. He was divine, but he was mankind. He took on the form of a man, of a human being, and came from a virgin birth. Praise God. It seems that by way of encouragement, the angel was trying to encourage her. Mary's that, she is that overwhelmed. She bursts into song. When the two are together, when they are encouraging one another, when they are speaking words, and Elizabeth, she gets filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that she received, you know, she had the Holy Spirit filling her. And like I say, it must have been a wonderful time. And from it, there were prophetic voices, prophetic utterances coming from these two ladies. I've already read one. Blessed is she who has believed. And Mary cries, and we know it to be called the Magnificat. And that is a Latin word. It's a Latin word, Magnificat. Okay. And simply, it's to magnify the Lord in song. It's to magnify God through song. Blessed is she who believed. Amen. Mary found favor with God. You and I have found favor with God. That word favor, I'd just like to just talk about that a bit. The word favor, well, the dictionary word favor means approval. Approval. Goodwill. And also to do a good turn. That's what the dictionary says. That's very shallow, isn't it? But the Hebrew word means grace. It means grace. If you look up what the Hebrew word in the New Testament, in the Greek, right, when that word is used, for instance, the church found, you know, that grace upon the church. Great grace. That word is charis, right? Charis, that's what it means. Charis. And in the Hebrew, it also means grace. When God shows his favor, he shows his grace. It's the unmerited favor of God. That's what grace is, okay? If you want to look in Strong's Analytical Concordance, it'll give you the interpretation. I'm not a brilliant student of the word, all right? But I do have some tools I can use to find out these things. And the Greek is charis. What charis means is a gracious act of graciousness. And we have the word charisma. From charis, charismatic. The charismatic movement was about the grace gifts. You know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, the grace gifts. So when Mary was favored by God, she was receiving His grace. It was God's unmerited favor. It wasn't that, you know, God saw something in her that He didn't see in anybody else. I honestly believe this. That Mary didn't do anything to merit being the chosen one to bear the Lord Jesus. She was a humble person. She called herself a slave girl. Let's read it. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly estate of His hand or His maidservant, which is a slave girl. So she wasn't, because of this very important role, she didn't get puffed up. She didn't get proud. Pride didn't fill her life. It says that the Spirit of the Most High God, it's referred to the Most High. You know, when Satan was thrown out of heaven, he said, I will ascend above the Most High. The Most High is the highest you can ever get. You can't get any higher. That's God. He's the highest. He's the greatest. Yes, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is the name. And His mercy is on those, guess what? Those who fear Him. Revere Him. Put Christ, put Him first in your life. Those who fear the Lord. Amen. Walking in the fear of the Lord. That's what the New Testament church did. They walked in the fear of the Lord. And that's what we need in the church today. More of the fear of the Lord. Because when we were talking about this on Thursday evening at the breakthrough. And when the fear of the Lord came upon the church, they were multiplied. It says there in verse 47. You know, in Acts 2, that they were fearing God. They were giving God an awesome respect and reverence and devotion. And through that, many were multiplied. I believe that people need to see the church. They see you at the factory, at the shop, in your neighborhood. They see you, yes, they see you, and by that they see the church. But is this Teesside Valley seeing the real expression of the church, of the kingdom of God? Is it seeing that? It says here about Elizabeth, and when about the birth and everything, and it was noised abroad, and people were talking about this wonderful miracle that Elizabeth had born a son whose name was John. And they were talking about it all over Judea. I want to say that, you know, when the church can express what we're really about, there will be talk about it. There will be talk. There will be gossip. There will be people saying, you know, well, do you know what's going on down that place there? People are being healed. People are walking. People, you know, limbs are being put on people. Eyes are being opened, blind eyes. They are not in itself salvation for the lost. No, but they are a means of expression of the Church of Jesus Christ and the fear of the Lord, the holiness of God, you know. I tried to explain to my oldest grandson to not take God's name in vain. You know what? They just take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, God. Oh, God. Talk to me after, Laura. All right? And I'll give you an answer. Thank you. You know, how, you know, we are able, friends, to explain that God is such a big God. And to a little child, we can explain that this is wrong. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. It's one of the commandments. One of the Ten Commandments. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Don't use it in a vain expression, you know, just And it's being done, friends. And the church needs to stand out more. We need to stand up. We need to speak out in love, praise God, in love. You know, don't get so angry. Don't get angry. Get moved with compassion. And get, because it hurts me when I hear that from my grandson. It hurt me. I said, it hurts your granddaddy. It hurts me. Because I love God with all my heart. And friends, if we do love Jesus and we are following him and we're walking in him, you know, we will get offended. We will get bruised. We will be hurt. Because we love the awesomeness and the mightiness of God. You know, people in Scripture, they found this favor. They found this grace. I'm just saying quickly, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph, God gave favor. He gave him favor to Potiphar in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar put him in charge of everything. And even when he was thrown into prison, God made favor to shine upon Joseph. And the chief steward of the prison, the keeper of the prison, had favor, gave Joseph favor. Well, Israel was given favor when they were slaves in Egypt. The Word of God says that Israel was given favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And that favor was the process of plundering the Egyptians. Plundering the Egyptians. That was the favor of God. That was the grace of God. Hallelujah. And also we can say for Samuel grew up in stature and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. Even Daniel experienced favor with God. And the new church, the church of the New Testament, they experience favor with God and the people. And great fear came on all. The fear of the Lord came upon them. Friends, today we have experienced the favor of God. Hallelujah. We can sing that song. At least the first five verses there. We can sing it. I can sing it. My soul. Can you sing this morning? Could you sing my soul? My soul, what do I mean? My soul. My intellect. My will. My emotions. That's my soul. That's my soul. And my soul magnifies the Lord. All those elements in me that make up me can magnify him. Magnify means to, you know, enlarge. God is enlarged in our lives. And my soul. magnifies the Lord. And my spirit, everybody's got a spirit, a human spirit. You have a human spirit separate from your soul. Don't listen to the theologians that tell you it's the same thing. I want to say it's not the same thing. I have a spirit which was given to me when I was born. And because of the spirit and because of my mother, my father, I became a human being. But the spirit came from God. And that caused me to become a personality that can feel, that can make decisions. Yeah. And that can also think for themselves. It's about time we thought for ourselves sometimes, you know. We blame it on everybody else, but we make the decisions in life. And when we make those decisions, we have to face the consequences. Because with every decision, there's a consequence that we make. And so we can say, I can say, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen. We rejoice this morning. People of God, rejoice this morning. Because of these things. Because he has regarded little me. He has regarded us who are nothing really. Friends, you know, we are precious to God, and I believe that. We are precious to God. But we always have to have that humble thought that who am I that God should ever choose me? Because you are chosen. If you are serving the Lord and filled with His Spirit, you're chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many receive the call and maybe follow Him for a while, but the chosen ones follow Him and they don't go. And they're not lost because they're chosen, you see. And we are chosen. He has regarded our you know, low estate. He's regarded us. He's regarded humanity. He has regarded us. He has seen us. And he says, I want to bless those people. I want to bless those people because I want to pour my grace, because my grace is favor. And friends, when we go, we have the favor of God. And something that happened all through those people that I mentioned, they prospered. They prospered. Joseph prospered. Daniel prospered. They prospered. I just don't mean economically, numerically, economically, but they prospered because they put God first in their lives. And we, friends, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, make Him Lord, friends. Because your life will not be fulfilled without that overshadowing of the Most High God. Amen. So tomorrow, if you're going to work, He's overshadowing you. Amen. You might have the Spirit of God within you, praise the Lord, but He's overshadowing. To overshadow is to take care, is to watch. Just like you do with your children. He wants to make sure that you are okay. For He who is mighty has done for me great things. Can you say that? Can you say it? He has done great things for me, whereof I am glad. He's done great things. He's doing great things. And He will do great things. He will do great things. Mainly, He is doing great things. Because He's in the past. He has done great things. He's doing great things in your life. In your life today, can you say, God, you're doing great things in my life? Amen. Praise God. And holy is His name. Holy. Oh, so much more you could say about this, friends. But it's wonderful. We today sing this song, just like Mary, to magnify the Lord. And we're going to have an opportunity to sing our songs. Amen. We've been singing this morning, and it was wonderful, the worship that God brought. And we're coming around the table of the Lord. What a marvelous place. What a marvelous opportunity to magnify Him with our soul. Yes, that's using our mouth. You know, that's using every part of us to magnify Him and to rejoice in God the Savior. But I would like to just finish with that 50th verse. And His mercy. His mercy is on those that fear Him. Do you fear God this morning? Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear Him? Not because He's a tyrant. Not because, you know, you're going to get a big stick whacked at you. No. You fear Him because He is what He is. He is the awesome. He is the majestic one. He is the most high. He's the most high. And He's here. Our God is here. Through the Spirit of God, He's here. And His presence is here. Let's pray. Let's just bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your Word is living and it's alive. And we thank You for these who have given us great examples of Your favor. You have favored us, oh God. Lord, we have been favored, Lord. We have been made, Lord Jesus, a target for Your grace. And we want more grace, Lord. We want Your grace. We want Your favor, Lord. We want You, Lord, to come amongst us. Lord, we know we have You all the time in our daily life. We know there's not a second that You are not with us. Lord, not a second You are there with us. Hallelujah.